Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. Could the nation's largest private employer determine who will be the next president? Retail giant Walmart has been making headlines in recent months for its possible influence on the general election, in part because of the blue-collar demographic it caters to, but also because of its concerns over issues such as unionizing. For more now about the influence Walmart is having on presidential politics, we've got Ann Zimmerman. She's a reporter for The Wall Street Journal. And Jeffrey Plaut. He's a partner at the Global Strategy Group, a Democratic polling and political consulting firm. Ann and Jeffrey, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Hi, Andrea.
And in your recent piece in the Wall Street Journal, you wrote about how Walmart management has had meetings with some of its supervisory staff about the negative impact unionizing would have on the company and how, if Obama were elected, the managers of Walmart contend unionization would be easier and would hurt Walmart profits. Can you explain to us what's going on?
Absolutely. For the last couple of weeks, Walmart has been having these meetings with all their store managers, all their assistant managers, and big supervisory staff in their stores. What they're telling them is that if the Democrats win, it will be a very great likelihood that they will pass the Employee Free Choice Act, and this will make unionizing much easier. It will do away with the secret ballot for unionizing, and it will replace it with what's called the check card system. All you'll need to do to organize a store or a company or a unit is 50% of the workers plus one. And both the unions and big business, who are violently opposed to this, both agree that it will be easier to unionize.
Is that legal for a company to do that?
Well, we looked into it. It's quite a fine line. You cannot tell businesses cannot tell hourly workers who to vote for. However, they can tell all their workers. They can inform them on issues. And what Walmart said is, we were just educating our workforce about this law that will go into effect. Obama, in fact, was a co-sponsor of it. He has said on numerous occasions that he would make it the law of the land when he becomes president, if he becomes president. So part of the law says that you cannot advocate to your hourly staff who to vote for, but in the process of giving information about issues, if it's very clear that you are actually telling people not to vote for somebody or to vote for a candidate, kind of like the smell test, if everybody comes away with the same impression, that could be a violation.
How many people are we talking about? How many people work at Walmart?
Okay, it's like, you know, the numbers that change at McDonald's every day. You know, how many millions served? I was saying one day I was going to put one of those over my desk for how many employees are at Walmart.
Okay, so
1.3 million. I think that's including international. So maybe it's 1.2 million in the United States.
Jeffrey Plaut of the Global Strategy Group, thanks for joining us. Now, a big group or a name that's been bandied about is not just Walmart employees, but Walmart shoppers, and in particular, Walmart women. Most recently, the governor of Tennessee said Obama should come on down to Walmart to convince the women who shop there that he's their candidate. Is that an actual demographic group, Walmart women?
Well, I think it's part a real group and part a marketing term, but overall the picture for this electorate is one that's driven by economic and affordability issues. And so many of the voters in key states, particularly in the industrial, you know, Midwest and eastern Ohio, are driven by economic anxiety and trying to figure out how all this works. And so when people go to fill up their car with gasoline or go into purchase go to the supermarket, when mom goes to the supermarket to purchase goods, increasingly, you know, how this all kind of works out from an affordability perspective is a huge part of life. And so big box stores, like where Walmart is the dominant one, which offer consumers, you know, affordable goods, become kind of a part of the equation. I think Walmart also plays a separate kind of role as a touchstone of American life and a lot of the kind of discussion about health care benefits and unionization, which we've been talking about. It becomes the kind of illustrative example because, you know, Walmart is the lead dog.
So is this a, I mean, is this a voting block, and where is it going? I know that there was some measurement that Walmart women were going with Hillary Clinton in the primaries. What's happening now?
Right. Well, I think the function of the primary, where Hillary at the end was the kind of economically populist candidate getting kind of the votes of white women in some of the kind of big industrial states, has led to a lot of focus this electorate. Right now, Barack Obama is getting 4 out of 5 of the Hillary Clinton voters. So, and there's obviously a lot of focus about his ability to consolidate Hillary's vote and what that means in terms of vice presidential selection and in terms of, you know, both of the candidates' ability to speak to kind of the dominant economic issues from a voter perspective, which is affordability. And so in polls all over the country, both for the presidential campaigns and also in key races, the discussion this cycle is going to be around affordability. And this is stereotypical to say, but in many families, the woman or mom plays the key role in figuring out, you know, how do we put all this together, kind of a kitchen table economics, how can we afford health care, perhaps for an aging parent, but also for the kids. When we go to shop, how does it all work out? The kind of, you know, budget of the family is driven by, in many cases, by a mom who is trying to sort out increasing pressures on her life. And there's, you know, there's lots of them, the housing crisis, foreclosures for some people, gas prices for almost everyone. So this kind of notion of which candidate is best able to figure out the daily economics for people who kind of, you know, really are affected by rising gas prices and perhaps, you know, might have gone on vacation and now are not going to, or having a harder time with their businesses, or are kind of worried about a foreclosure. All of that is a key swing voter. And I think it's additionally highlighted by the fact that Hillary Clinton, for a 2-month period, became the kind of standard bearer in a very kind of high-profile way. And so now there's a kind of an additional kind of political question, which is, well, what's Barack going to do in terms of his vice presidential selection? And will Hillary and her supporters, or the remaining 1 in 5 of her supporters who are still holding out, will that and the way the campaigns run be enough to get them?
There was a sense that Hillary Clinton was the champion of this group when she was still in the contest. But even if Obama is getting them, will they be voting for him with as much energy? I mean, will he become their standard bearer also?
I think it remains to be seen, and it also remains to be seen. John McCain, who I don't think yet has put forward an especially compelling argument around the economics of everyday life for kind of Americans, whether he's a candidate to turn around. We know that nearly 80% of voters around the country think the economy is going in the wrong direction, that things are in bad shape, that George Bush is viewed as having been a very poor steward of these kinds of family-based economic kinds of issues. But part of what Barack needs to do is, you know, remind voters. I mean, this is a guy who just actually recently finished paying off his student loans, and he needs to, you know, come across as someone who both understands and has solutions for kind of economic problems affecting most of the country, and not just a, you know, Harvard-educated kind of, you know, liberal elite.
What do you think that this campaign that Ann Zimmerman has written about of Walmart to advise its supervisors about what it sees as the threatening effects of an Obama victory on the Walmart bottom line, do you think that campaign is going to go anywhere?
I think Walmart plays a singular place in American life. I think they risk, I mean, but as Ann said, even if they have 1 million employees, their number of supervisors obviously is far less. And I think to the extent that they appear to be heavy-handed in getting into the campaign, they probably hurt their own case. And so, I mean, in most cases, big corporate players who want to have an effect want to do that, you know, on the background without being seen, kind of, and not appear to be kind of with a heavy hand. So I would, you know, if I were kind of in the inner sanctums at Walmart and stuff, I, you know, kind of a lot of stories around the country about Walmart trying to kind of put their hand on the balance and influence the election, I don't think probably helps them and probably hurts the candidates who they're most inclined to want to help.
Is that what
Trust
you found,
me, they did. They didn't think they were doing this publicly when they were. They thought they were doing it very much off the radar.
But doesn't Walmart know that if more than two people know something, it's going to be public information?
You'd be surprised how scared people at Walmart are to talk to the media, though.
So what did you find in terms of how it was filtering down? Were people resentful of it?
Well, it's interesting. I didn't talk to everybody, obviously, that was in those meetings, but people were quite, even if they were against Obama, they felt indignant that they were being told in not so many words what to do. And, of course, then there were those that really very much for Obama and were very upset that the company they work for was trying to influence their vote.
Do you think in the privacy of the voting booth, I mean, did you get any sense that there was anybody that felt persuaded to take their employer's advice?
No, I think there are an awful lot of people there that are there at Walmart either because of their own convictions or they've been convinced over the years by Walmart's anti-union stance that unions are the modern incarnation of the devil and are panicked at the thought that the unions would come in. And so this just stirred up, feared that they already had. They haven't been bothered by unions. They haven't had any unionizing activity there for years.
So that even comes down to this sort of level of the supervisor, that those people are fearful of unions and would,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So it might have an effect, this campaign.
It could. I think what it probably... Will it really impact how people vote? I think probably people had their minds... perhaps made up beforehand. Maybe not. Maybe there were those that were on the fence, and this is a deciding factor for them.
Now, I understand an analysis by the Center for Responsive Politics found out that Walmart employees as a whole have given about 50-50 to Democrats and Republicans. How do you explain that?
Well, I think Walmart's gotten very savvy over the years politically. They've increased their whole lobbying presence in Washington, and they know that they need a seat at the table, whoever's leading that table. So they know which way the wind is starting to blow this election.
So you would think
if you look at the charts, they were 10 years ago, they were 98%. The contributions went 98% to Republicans, and then it came down slowly, and it's now almost even. So I think it shows a kind of more political sophistication on Walmart's
So that they have a little bit of egg on their face that it came out that they are privately organizing for John McCain if their intention is to be ecumenical in their giving.
Exactly.
Thank you very much to Ann Zimmerman, a reporter for The Wall Street Journal, who recently wrote about Walmart and its political organizing, and Jeffrey Plaut, a partner at the Global Strategy Group, a Democratic polling and political consulting firm. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. When we come back, shopping.